according to the law.
One Ananias,
a devout man
according to the law,
having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there.
He had a good report in that area.
Came unto me and stood.
That man came to Paul and stood.
And said unto me.
And he spoke to Paul.
Brother Saul. Receive thy sight.
Remember, they were not brothers in Christ, but they were brothers in Abraham and Jacob. Receive your sight.
And the same hour I looked up upon him.
Remember, he was struck blind on his way to persecuting the Christian. And because at this time, Saul thought that the Old Testament way of serving God was the way. And that those who embraced Christianity were wrong. So stubborn was he that God had to blind him to enable him to see. Contradiction? Not really. The Bible teaches us that suffering is redemptive. The Bible teaches that only sometimes as we experience tragedy, failure, disappointment, that we turn our eyes upward. David said, "It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may keep thy law." So Paul, in his blindness, came to the realization that something was not right between him and God. Wait, as dedicated as he was to the law. Read Jonathan.
And he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee."
God of our father
hath chosen thee.
Have chosen you, that Paul, or Saul then.
That thou shouldest know his will.
That you should know his will. Wait. That Saul should know God's will? Saul? One of the strictest of the Pharisees, and the Pharisee sect was committed to keeping the law as strictly as they could. This man needed to know God's will. In fact, the entire lesson today is, or rather will revolve around that statement. God chose you, and your first order of business is to know the will of God. When we as Christians, when religious men and women read this, it should make us wonder and think, and it should give us instruction. In respect to consider the person to whom this was said. That is, that thou shouldest know his will. The man to whom this statement was made is quite instructive. In this statement, God gives the religious world an eye-opening mouthful that Saul should know God's will. Further on in the lesson, we are going to examine the religious and knowledge resume of this man. Further in the lesson, the man's religious knowledge and the man's religious conduct. And God talking to the man, talk about you should know his will. This should open our eyes to wonder, what is God's will that Paul at this time did not know, with all the vast knowledge that this man had? Further in the lesson, I'll be showing that Paul's religious credentials, his acquaintance with the whole entire Jewish system and the law and the history of the Jew, was so vast that it swept King Agrippa and Festus off their feet. Ladies and gentlemen, today religious people, men and women in the religious world, they are searching after new method. We get tired of wanting easily. God doesn't. The Almighty God in the book of Isaiah talk about the old path. But in the religious world today, men and women, as I said, they are searching for new method, novel devices, so-called modern approaches. I have news for you. When we come up with the novel devices and the new method and the modern approaches, if we are going to stand right before God, we will have to come right back to God's old path. And we will have to start by knowing the will of Jesus Christ and submit to it. Ladies and gentlemen, in being cleansed, because that's what Jesus Christ and Christianity is about. In being saved, that's what Jesus Christ and Christianity about. In being, in rather standing right in the eyes of God, that's what Jesus Christ and Christianity is about. Knowing the will of God in Christ must be our first order of business. That's right. If we are going to be cleansed from sin, if we are going to be saved eternally, if we are going to stand right in God's sight, wait, not in our sight so much, but in God's eyes, knowing Jesus' will is the first order of business. Let me spend a little time making sure that we understand that for God, that's the first order of business. Remember, we are looking on the fact that this man with so great a knowledge as Paul, this man with the history of the Israelite backing him up, committed to the Old Testament Ten Commandments system, this man was told that you need to know the will of God. That's what we are preaching about. The whole lesson surrounds that. But I'm saying that let us know or learn some more about what God, what the Bible says about God's will. We turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. Let us hear it.
Not everyone that
turn in the meantime, Brother Webb, to John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
Matthew 7:21.
Yes, let us hear it. Matthew 7:21-22.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Wait, we need. It's a passage you know. It's a passage you can quote. Not everyone that simply call upon God will be saved. Wait, this is talk about religious people like you and me. People who go to church, people who believe in God, people who call upon Him. But watch here now, calling upon Him is not enough. Read on, brother.
But he that doeth the will of my Father.
It is the man or the woman who practice God's will. That's the person that's going to stand right. You all get it? Everybody gets that? So, praying and fasting daily, that doesn't mean much to God if you do not learn His will and you're practicing it. Look, listen to the other verse.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in
thy
name?
Wait. These are men and women who were deeply religious, preach, teach, go to church. And you know what? They swore that they were doing God's will. They were sincere. Are we all there? But watch here. Read.
And in thy name have cast out devils.
You hear that? They even cast out devils. You know, some people just claim that you heal somebody and they swear you are a child of God. That's the type of gullible religious world in which we live today. God, that's why we have so many healers today. I should say fake healers. Sometimes when they advertise their tent meeting or whatever, they tell you, come expect a miracle. So here are some people who stand before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment and say, it seems you have forgotten, Lord. Here are some things I did in your name. I did some healing. I cast out devils. What was Jesus' response?
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
Everybody gets it? But remember, verse 21 has already informed us that the crucial point there was doing the will of God. Are we all there? These were religious people. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13.
But as many
and Jonathan turned to Romans 8:26-27. Read.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
As many men and women as received Jesus Christ gives them the ability, the privilege, the opportunity to become
the sons of God.
The sons of God.
Even to them that believe on his name.
That believe on his name. Read.
Which were born.
That is, they came about spiritually.
not of
blood. They experienced the new birth. Mm-hmm. They experienced the transformation. And this transformation came about first. How it didn't come about?
Not of blood.
Not of blood.
Nor of the will of the flesh.
Take time with me, dear brother. You know what that means? It did not come about by the will of man. You see, man has his will, and God has his will. We must make sure that when we go to church, whatever the preacher gives you, you can go home and read it. And it is plain in the gospel of Christ. Listening to one of the sermon preached by Brother Pounds, the preacher that we just got confirmation 2 days ago. His name is Pounds, P-O-U-N-D-S. And listening to one of his sermon, I think it's titled something like this: I have proof that your preacher is lying to you.
Okay.
That's right. I have proof that your preacher is lying to you. Where have you just read, brother, in the book of St. John, chapter
1, 12 through 14.
Yes, verse 14. Not by the will of man, but our blood, but
which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
But of the will of God. That is the born again. You see, what the passage is implying here, we can think we are born again when we obey the will of man. Are we all there? That's the implication, and you can go home and read it. But only when the new birth comes about by the will of God do we stand right. Are we there? Listen now, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This has to do with our prayer. I want you to notice something here. Watch here now. Let us hear it.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
The Spirit helps our limitations.
For we know.
And as human beings, we have a lot of limitations. Are we all there? Huh? For we know
not what we should pray for.
Are we all there? Are we all there? Our very prayer, as we are going to see, is dependent on the will of God. The passage under consideration will show that. For we know not what we are to
pray for.
Pray for.
As we ought.
Wait. We pray. Sometimes, many times for the day. There is a problem because we do not, many of us know the will of God. Lot of times our prayer go contrary to God's will. And that's one of the problems. But for the Christian, watch, you know, for the Christian, we have someone who is taking our prayer and fixing it up. Huh? Huh? We have a way when we prepare reading material, and that is the best of person, the most efficient person in the English teacher. When that English teacher prepares something written, that English teacher had to give it to somebody else to proofread, because we do not always detect our own mistake. Well, the Bible is telling us here that the Holy Spirit takes our prayer and examines it. You see, the Holy Spirit knows God's will more than we do. And the Holy Spirit know that, you know, give God any and anything and him take it. Truly. Somebody didn't hear that, Brother Jonathan. Let us hear it again.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for.
You don't hear that? The we here is referring to Christian, you know. We, the Christian, do not know always what to pray for. And what he's heading at there, lot of our prayers are contrary to God's will for us. Read on.
As we ought. But the Spirit itself
makes... The Spirit
itself
should really be himself.
Maketh intercession for
maketh
us.
Maketh intercession for us. Read on.
With groanings which cannot be uttered.
Groaning. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, it's so much here. With groaning that cannot what, brother?
Be uttered.
The Holy Spirit not just take something naked to God. The Holy Spirit take it with sincerity and input and feeling. Read.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit.
He who searched the heart, God searched the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. Read on.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints.
Wait. He, this is now, I'm just getting to where I want to get to. Because he, the Spirit, make intercession for, what it mean? The Holy Spirit takes our prayer, fix it up, take out what is to be taken out, and present, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we have in mind. And the Spirit fix it up that it can be acceptable to God. But watch here. Read.
According to the will of God.
According to
the will of God.
You all hear that? Our very prayer must be done according to the will of God. But because you and I, we are ignorant, we are limited, and God knows that we are sincere and want to do his will, the Holy Spirit is given to us to take our supplication, our prayer, and fix it up. Notice the important thing here is the will of God. Are we all here? Oh, Lord, let me give you a few more. Romans 12:2. Quick, brother. I'm just on one point, you know. One point here. The will of God. Romans 12:2.
And be not conformed to the world.
Be not, Christian. Don't be in too much eagerness to resemble the world. And in many cases, we try to resemble the world in the wrong things. Word conform mean to be like, to resemble. Be not conformed to this world, but be
transformed.
That is change.
By the renewing of your mind.
You notice where the change going to start from?
The mind.
The mind. By getting your mind renewed. Notice further.
That you may prove
what is that
good
and
acceptable and perfect will of God.
Wait. The will of God is good. It is acceptable. It is perfect. Isn't that wonderful? What is that? He didn't just say will of God, but that good will of God, and God's will is good. That acceptable will of God, and it is acceptable. That perfect will of God. The bottom line here is the will of God. That's what's going to bring about the transformation that is necessary. Are we all here? Look. Oh Lord, so many of these passages. Let me just relate. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Both passages are saying the same thing. But I just want to bring something across to you here. Ephesians 5, 17, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 9.
Ephesians 5. Wherefore, be not unwise.
Be not unwise.
But understanding the will of the Lord is.
You see what I see, Jonathan? You see what I see? Huh? Is this Dr. Watson? You see what I see, brother? Read the passage again.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise.
Be not unwise.
But understanding what the will of the Lord is.
You see what I see? When you do not understand. You see? It's plain. Be not unwise. Now here is the contrast. But you need to understand what God's will is. When you do not understand what God's will is, you are unwise. Further in the lesson, I'm going to show that just doing some religious thing that you think is right in the sight of God is not God's will. We are going to go to case in the Bible to show that just doing some religious thing that make us feel good and make us feel holy, we might be far from God. Because God's will is something specific. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Step now, that was Ephesians
5:17.
Chapter 5:17. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 9, I think.
For this cause we also.
For this cause we also.
Since the day we heard it.
Since the day we heard the good news about you.
Do not cease.
We do not stop.
To pray for you.
To pray for you.
And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Wait. You sure that is in your Bible, brother? I'll have to check mine to see if it's in my Bible too. Let me hear it again.
For this cause.
For this reason.
We also, since the day we heard
since it. Since the day we heard some good news about you, Christian, in Colossae. We do not stop.
To pray for
to
you.
To pray.
For you.
For you.
And to desire that he.
And to have in our mind that you might be.
Filled with the knowledge.
Filled with the knowledge of some will. Philosophy.
Of his will.
With the knowledge of some politics.
Knowledge of his
with
will.
With the knowledge of some economic thing.
Of his will.
Of his will.
In all wisdom.
In all wisdom.
And spiritual understanding.
And spiritual understanding. That's the area that so many men and women are ignorant of today. You see, we believe just do some religious thing. Go to any church and just do what you like. This is why we have things like praise and worship. Men and women are finding ways to let worship be about them. That's what praise and worship is about, you know. Worship is about what they like, how they like it, instead of about God. I have some news for you today, and that is especially our visiting friends. Learn this, worship was never about the worshiper. When we come together for the right reason, that right reason must be to give God that which is his. Homage, honor, reverence, praise. We must not think in terms of what we like, what we want. The moment we enter into that realm, worship ceases to be worship. Wait, the will of God, that's where we are. Huh? Look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Let us hear it.
Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will.
Wait, I come to do thy will, O God.
He taketh away the first.
Wait, you get it? He taketh away the
first, that he may establish.
Will, are we there? That he may establish the second will. Watch, it's important that you get this. Start again, Everett. Wait, Jonathan. Read.
Then said he. Lo.
This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Lo.
I come to do thy will.
Christ came to do the will of his Father. Read.
He taketh away the first.
Jesus Christ nailed the Old Testament system to the cross. Colossians chapter 2. He taketh away the first will.
That he may establish the second.
So that the second will, which is the gospel of Christ, that he may establish it. Read on.
By the which will we are
saved. Wait, you get it? By which will? Which one? The second one. We are saved. Isn't that play? He taketh away the first will that he may establish the second will, which is the gospel of Christ. And then the inspired writer went on to tell us it is by that second will we are saved. What are you talking about today, Brother Mitchell? That thou shouldest know the will of God. And we have been spending the past 15, 20 or so minutes just on the subject of God's will for us today. Are we all there? It is of hell and heaven importance that you know God's will for you now. Wait. Mr. Mitchell, say that again. Thank you for asking me. It is of hell and heaven important that you and I know God's will for us now. Why now, Brother Mitchell? I'm going to show you. And that, you see, that you know God's will for you. Why, Brother Mitchell, you're emphasizing you and now? You will see in a little while. First, the passage of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us, God, who at sundry times and in different manner, that is many times and different ways, spake
in time past.
Wait. Spake in time
past unto the fathers.
To whom, when he spoke in past time, he was not primarily speaking to us. It doesn't mean that what God says under the Old Testament, we cannot learn, because the Bible tells us that there are much for us to learn from it. But it was not primarily for us. God spake in time past. Notice to who?
Unto the fathers.
Unto the fathers by the prophet. Am I right? So when God spoke through the Old Testament prophet, it was unto the fathers. Notice now how the Bible makes this plain distinction. Hath in these
last days.
When, brother?
These last days.
Last days.
Spoken unto us.
Wait. It is us now, brother Wade. Spoken unto us. How?
By his son.
By his son, Jesus Christ. So watch here. You and I must know God's will for us now. Yes, if we are not careful, we'll go on doing somebody else's will. Wait. That is God's will that was meant for somebody else. You want me to give you an example of that? There are many examples. But in the first place, you ever hear about Noah's Ark? Yes. That was probably some 2,000 years, little less or more before Jesus Christ. Are we all there? It is found in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Quick, brother. Chapter 6, did I say?
Yes.
Verse 13.
And God said unto Noah,
mm-hmm.
The end of all flesh is come before me.
The end of all flesh is come
before me.
Before me.
For the earth is filled with the violence through them.
The earth is filled with the violence. That is the sin of men that didn't recognize that there was a God to be served. Read.
And behold, I will destroy them.
God says, I will destroy them.
With the earth.
With the earth.
Make thee. An ark of gopher wood.
Brother Jonathan, that's a command. Yeah. Are we all there? That a command that contains the will of God. That an ark be made. That's a big boat. Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Rooms.
Wait. You notice what I notice? There are some things that the very small detail, God no leave it up to man. The thing we have in our head today that we can just go and do some religious thing, religious flux and religious generality, and God is a loving God, is a kind God, he will accept it. Yes, God is loving. God is kind. But I have some news for you, and I'm not going to charge you for that. God is also a holy God. That means things will have to be done in keeping with God's holiness. When you belittle God's word, when you ignore God's directive, you are showing that you have no respect for his holiness and justice. Don't move from the path. May I throw out an example? The Almighty God says men and women must be baptized to be saved. The gospel of Christ teaches that many places. And the Bible went on to tell us that baptism is a burial in water. Somebody say, Mr. Mitchell, the Bible tells us that, yes. Romans chapter 6. But you have church go out, they sprinkle a little water on your head. And they call it baptism or confirmation. And you permit yourself to be deceived and walk away thinking you are baptized. When the Almighty God has given you his revelation in which you can read and see what God wants. Huh? Where were we? In the book
Genesis chapter 6. Verse 14.
Yes, what I was saying, Brother Jonathan, is that God does not leave up even the small detail to man. Do we get it? My God, why couldn't us God say, build me a big boat, put some windows and doors in it, and leave it up to Noah's discretion? As one man said, I didn't bring my discretion today. God didn't do that. And same way today, in respect to what we eat, God leave that up to us. What we wear, God leave that up to us. Those are physical, material things. But you see, when it comes to the removal of sin, the running of the church, becoming a Christian, living the Christian life, worshiping God, none of that was left up to man. The Almighty God told Noah the very size of the window and the door. Are we all there? Why did you go to this passage of Genesis, Brother Mitchell, to show you that God had a command to build an ark that represents the will of God? But may I? That was not God's will for you and me. You see, I come right back to where I left from. You see, we're talking about God's will for us now. God's will for you and for me now. We must know that, or else we will go. If you go building some boat, go out of Gunboat Beach, and you build a boat, and every time people pass, you preach to them that God command that an ark be built. Yes, God command that an ark be built, but that command was not for you and me. So we must make sure. In fact, may I give you another one? Huh? The Almighty God also command that a census be taken. Are we all there? These are just illustrations to help us understand. That is, that the people of Israel be numbered. God gave that command to Moses. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and about verse 1 and 2. We will quickly read that, brother, and then we move on to the book of 2 Samuel 24, 2 and 10. Let us hear Numbers 1, 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
In the wilderness of Sinai.
In the wilderness of Sinai.
In the tabernacle of the congregation.
In the tabernacle of the congregation.
On the first day of the second month.
On the first day of the second month.
In the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt.
Read.
Saying.
Say.
Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel.
Everybody, that's a command, you know. That represents the will of God. Take ye
the sum of all the congregation.
That is number the children of Israel. And I think he's going to give from what age?
After their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and
from
upward.
From 20 years old and up. That is God's will for Moses. Are we all there?
All that are able to go forth to
are
war.
Are we all there? May I? Get now this now. That was not God's will for David. Look at 2 Samuel. Chapter 24, verse 2 and verse 10.
For the king said to Joab.
David said to Joab, his warlord.
The captain of the host, which was with him. Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba. And number ye the people.
And number the people. Wait. Moses was commanded to do that. Some 400 plus years before. So some 400 years after, David commanded his landlord to do the same, his warlord to do the same thing. Number the children of Israel. Well, what's wrong with that? That's the way we think, you know. What's wrong with if the king number his people? God gave a command to Moses to do the same thing. That command was not for David. Look at verse 10 now, brother.
And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people.
Read.
And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly.
Wait, what?
I have sinned greatly.
What?
I have sinned greatly.
The man did not only sin, he sinned greatly for doing the very same thing that God commanded Moses to do. Are we all there? You get it? So when you hear me talk about you must know God's will for you now. And be careful that you do not go doing God's will for somebody else. Especially men and women who lived before the cross of Jesus Christ. They lived under a different religious system. But watch here too. Make sure you do not go doing the will of man as represented by different religious groups that do not follow God's word. Are we all there? Are we all there? May I give you a simple illustration? Oh Lord, there's so much. There's another case where, watch here now. There are so many cases, Lord. There's another case where the Almighty God in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy, gave instruction for the Levitical priesthood. Huh? For the priests. The priests were the one to offer the sacrifice, to supervise and be active in the worship of God under the Old Testament system. What did I say? The priests from the tribe of Levi. You know what? On one occasion, Samuel told King Saul to wait for him before King Saul get engaged in the battle. Think he was fighting the Philistine. And the sacrifice had to be offered before the battle was fought. That was the instruction from God's prophet and priest, Samuel. Samuel had told King Saul, I will be there 12 o'clock on Sunday. And King Saul watch him, and the Philistine host, thousands of soldiers gather not far from them. And he's looking on his watch, and his heart a beat, and then his heart almost give him heart failure because he looked and didn't see the prophet coming to offer the sacrifice. And when it reached 2 minutes before 12, he assumed that Samuel not going to come again. And he went and offered the sacrifice. I wish I have time to read it. If you'd like to read it when you go home, it is found in the book of 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14. But you know what? It was there for the first time that the Almighty God said through the prophet that Saul, your kingdom will not be established. You're not going to be king for long. It was right there. For the first time, Saul realized that he is replaced and that there will be no King Saul dynasty. Because King Saul was doing the will that was meant for somebody else. Oh Lord, have mercy. Brothers and sisters, no man or woman, are we there? Can stand right, righteous, cleansed, forgiven in God's sight, not knowing the will of God. No man or woman. You know what? I discovered that I cannot do like Joshua, and I wish I could. I wish I could command all watch to stand still. But time, it's a message I didn't want to preach 2 times. But I love, because the most important part of the lesson I have not yet, I want to get now for us to look at, not now, because time has gone. Not now, most likely Sunday coming, if God is willing, we'll look on the second half of the lesson, that thou shouldest know the will of God. We want to examine more carefully the person to whom that was said. The man's religious knowledge, the man's religious activity. May I? The man, Paul said that according to the system that he previously lived on, he was found, help me here, blameless. We want to examine the implication of that. Well, if a man stand blameless according to a system that God gave, how comes God tell the man that he calling that he may know his will? That's a lot of things for you and for me to learn from there. But all that I have been saying today, it is in reference to laying a foundation for the rest of the lesson. I do not regret spending the amount of time I spend on talking about the will of God and how fundamental and important it is that we learn not what we like, what we want, how we see things, but that we learn the will of God for us now. I think I have laid that down, you understand. And that we should take interest in understanding the will of God for us today. Not the will of God for another man or another group of people, but God's will in Jesus Christ for us today. Come next week Sunday morning, if God is willing. And then we will now take up the statement again, that thou mayest know the will of God. Didn't Paul know the will of God with all of his religious knowledge? No, he didn't. And it is a warning to us. It is a directive to you and me to make sure that we know God's will, accept it, and live by it. But right now, you have been given enough to understand that we must not take God and serving God for granted. We must never believe that we can just give God any religious thing that is convenient for us and that please us and that look nice to us. I heard somebody said some many years before Christ, there is a way that seemeth right and to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That was said by the wise man Solomon. Come next week, learn more about how is it that Paul did not know what the will of God is with all of his vast religious knowledge and involvement. Don't miss the rest of this lesson. For now, Jesus Christ wants you to believe in him. In fact, let me back up. Even before that, you must accept that you are a sinner. Are you there? You must accept that you are a sinner. That you are a decent, nice person does not remove the fact that you are a sinner. In next week's message, I'm going to give you some cases of decent, nice, religious people who needed to be saved. You must accept that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with your sin problem. But here is something else that you must accept. That Jesus' method in the gospel, the conditions laid down in the gospel for the removal of your sin and my sin, is the only way that Jesus Christ has to deal with sin. And here I give you a little more information. God sent you here so that you could get this information. The Almighty God did not give various churches various plan of salvation. You get saved this way in this church. You get saved that way in that church. Oh my God. Why do human beings take leave of their senses? The Almighty God has one plan of salvation. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, every one of us, if we are going to be saved God's way, Bible way, we'll have to be saved the same way. That's why you see Paul did not know God's will to save him then. He knew all about the Jewish law. He was, as in fact, Paul's religious commitment surpassed any in his days. And next week, one of the statements we are going to look at is when he said, he lists some things that the other Jews were doing, and he said, I, the more you are Jews doing this and that, I do more of it. But next week we'll look at that. But he was still a sinner in God's sight. So you must accept Christ's plan of salvation. Believing in him, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of sin. Bible's baptism, true baptism, is an immersion in water. We are going to sing an invitation song now. You can step forward giving Jesus Christ your life to become a Christian the Bible's way. That is God's will for you. In love, in mercy, in grace, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right now as we stand, Jesus Christ calls.